Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Podcast on Fire Network bonus episode 11, or boner episode. I am Tom KW. With me is Dr. David Lamb. Say hello, David.
Hello. My boner's hitting the table.
Yes, I heard that. We have christened Baby David, because we've already had a David on here by the name of Harris. So this is Baby David, and he is going to offer his opinions on Pedicab Driver while I do some think in the background. Okay. I'm gonna do something else. So first of all, top 10 reasons why Ken hates us and didn't let us be on the other episode. 1, our haircuts. 2, our youth. 3, he is a Nazi. 4, doesn't like world peace. 5, we like hip hop. 6, our odor combined is fresher than his. 7, he's actually an asshole. 8, he doesn't have any Vengaboy CDs in his collection. 9, he lives in a closet. 10, doesn't like spiders. Okay, now we've just got that. We've just done that. We've got through that, right. So that's cool. And now let's get on to the conversation, David. David, I can do it like Q&A. I can ask you a question, how you feel. Like, what's your initial thoughts on the film?
Well, my initial thoughts is it's a zany action comedy from Sammo, and it has a typical anything goes kind of storytelling philosophy. Yep. Yep. It's at once a comedy, it's at once, you know, an action film, and then it turns into almost like a triad film, I would say.
Yeah, it definitely takes some kind of tonal, you know, shifts throughout the film. I think it's arguably Sammo's directorial masterpiece, and that's to say it's, you know, that's arguable. I think for a lot of people, this is probably kind of the holy grail of Sammo films, in regards to it just not being available, it not having any releases kind of post the VHS age. Well, there's a few bootlegs on the market, but nothing kind of official, nothing, you know, no remasters or anything. I think, yeah, for a lot of people, it still is a bit kind of out of touch, but it's not without its flaws. It's not, right, you know, as I said, without the kind of ever-shifting tone. It takes a really dark turn towards the last part of the film, and I mean, I feel it works regardless and contains some of, if not the best action choreography that, you know, he puts the film, and he's certainly kind of in top form in singing, you know, athletically, and just kind of coming correct with the freshness to the choreography.
Yeah, well, is there an official reason why it hasn't been released in any format?
There was the whole thing about, I think, it possibly when martial law became big in the late 90s, Warner Brothers snatched up a lot of rights to,
right,
Sammo's late 80s to 90s kind of career. Mm-hmm. The films he produced, which he did under the Boho one? This is under, yeah, Bojan films. I think they snatched up the rights to a lot of these kind of Bojan films. I think we License to Steal, Panio's Heroes, Slicks vs. Killers. I don't know which specific films they have, but I think this is one that Warner Brothers snatched up, had the rights to, and, I mean, they must have had kind of, you know, world distribution rights to it, because it's locked up and there's been no DVD release of it. Or anyway, I think that the most recent release was the Made in Hong Kong UK VHS, and obviously before that we have the laser discs, which I think the bootlegs, a lot of the bootlegs circulating around take it, that print from the Laserdisc print, which obviously, you know, you burnt on subtitles and you're okay video, right, quality.
What a travesty.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, and I think it's the same thing, you know, with obviously with Jackie's Drunken Master 2, although that's, you know, that's got a life kind of in its you know, dubbed form and edited form. In its original form, it's still really hard to come by, and I don't think you can actually get it in its original form with, you know, letterboxed in the correct ratio with original language, which, you know, again, it's just another kind of crime of, you know, these type, right, of films, and this decade of a film not being fully kind of, you know, put to good use and given, you know, DVD. I'm not even asking for a Blu-ray, just give me a DVD, goddammit. You know, just with, you know, remastered kind of, you know, subs and just a nice looking print, and I'll be happy. But yeah, I mean, the prints out there now, they're not terrible. You know, they're not a terrible, terrible print, and they're watchable, definitely. And
right, it just deserves a little, deserves something better, you know?
TLC, man, yeah, like, just a little, yeah, TLC and tender love and care. And, you know, this, I mean, talking about, I mean, in Sammo's career, he was really onto, this could be probably seen as the last film of his, you know, his golden era, really, of kind of, you know, being on that hit of being stuff with the Three Brothers and kind of, you know, his masterpieces kind of the late era, when he really started to make, you know, and appear in interesting films, like ones that were a bit off the beaten track, especially with some of his early 90s stuff, where we, you know, we had stuff like My Flying Wife, kind of, you know, Lover's Tear appeared in, and stuff that was kind of the norm of stuff that he would be in. I mean, some of them contained action, but a lot of them were kind of took a different tone to them. So, I mean, arguably, this is the last film we did, you know, of that kind of 80s period that's looked upon as, you know, really, you know, great kind of golden era film. I mean, yeah, I think he made films possibly with a better pace and a better story and stuff that kind of clicked a bit better. But here, certain parts are really, really good. And not just Sammo's kind of acting and the cast right. acting, the direction and the way stuff's shot. And obviously the action scenes are just shot, you know, incredibly well. I mean, Sammo had, you know, 20 years under his belt now of doing this stuff. So obviously yeah. it's on par there. I think, how would you rate it with the rest of his 80s catalog, David?
I think it's right up there. I mean, he throws a lot of stuff into the story, and, you know, I just have complete faith in him, and at the end, it all just gets tied up, and it works.
Mm. I mean, yeah, it comes to, the conclusion, I mean, the last, you know, 20 minutes or so, in terms of the action, it really kind of escalates to something incredible.
It just turns gritty really quickly.
It does. Like the last action sequence and the, you know, the kind of the 10-20 minutes of storyline and stuff that escalates in the storyline, which I don't want to say what particularly happens, but the last kind of half an hour or so is, it really turns dark. I mean, before that we have a kind of, you know, light, kind of romantic.
A comedy, chronicling the lives of like rickshaw drivers in Macau, and
the plights of rickshaw drivers in Macau. We have, you know, we got a great cast. We have Neen Lee Chee, who just is absolutely gorgeous in the film. We have Max Mock, who gets some real kind of emotional beats, and he's great in this film as well.
Yeah. I call him the poor man's Andy Lau.
Which is slightly unfair, but he does. I mean, obviously, he kind of looks, and he's going for the same kind of vibe as Andy. I think he had his own kind of thing going here. I mean, this is probably
effective in this movie.
He's effective in this film. Yeah, I mean, he's quite a chunky role as well for a guy that, I mean, throughout the 90s, I mean, he had starring roles, but he did appear in a lot of supporting roles. You know, in kind of character actor parts, and, you know, he gets a nice starring role. He has a nice little kind of love affair, and you know, Sammo gets kind of, he's fallen in love, and obviously he has to battle a bit with our character Fong the Baker, who's played by Sun Yat, who we, you know, previously spoke about in Sea on Fire, conversation. Who makes, you know, another one of his, I mean, last performances here. I don't know whether it's his actual last, but they definitely start making films turn of the century. So we get a good performance here. I mean, I think the thing that I think it gets praised is because the cast, no matter how the story turns, the cast uniformly are excellent in the film. Right. All round, we don't have any kind of weak, and we do get, you know, we get some really kind of good cameos or, you know, slightly kind of extended roles by a lot of kind of famous directors and actually we get, you know, Corey Yuen shows up in the film. Lam Ching Ying shows up in the film. Alfred Chung, who was really breaking out as a director at this time as well, just before he you know, he started making his really, really, you know, he'd done stuff like, you know, Paper Marriage with Sam around this time.
Turns up.
Big Chow shows up for a really nice little scrap at the end. Dick Way in a role that for some people might be a bit disappointing because he doesn't get. I mean, I think he gets a small little scuffle, but surprisingly, he's not the end bad guy in this film.
How good is John Sham as a bad guy? Huh?
John Sham, yeah. I mean, he's in a role that if you've seen him as like Winners and Sinners, I mean, he's a fucking sleazeball in this. And some of his subtitles translated like, "Oh yeah, piss in a bath." are pretty horrendous, and he plays kind of, obviously the main bad guy. He doesn't, he hasn't got any kind of physicality chops, but who needs that, you know, when we got Billy kind of to have his back and to fight off Sammo.
Who's a bigger bastard, Tom? Billy or Wang Yu?
Oh, man, I mean, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Imagine those two going at it.
Man, that would be a lot of sound effects. A lot of blunt sound effects and swooshies going on there, man. I mean, both equal bastards. I'd say both high on the bastard villain. We get a lot of cameos. We get a lot of just kind of really great, really great kind of fight. Throughout there's some small fight scenes that pop up, but it's really the last fight scene which really kind of takes it to the next level. And it's just Sammo on top form, and just everything is so vibrant with the choreography and the use of props, and we get some really nasty stunts, and Sammo's left just bloody and beaten by the end of it, looking like shit, which is the sign of a really good workout physically for the man.
Surprised how agile he is.
Agile, especially in this, and some of the kind of the kicks he gets away with this, and some of the moves he gets away with this is incredible. He's a big dude,
he's
man.
Just
he's
flopping
a big dude.
Around.
I mean, I think he'd put on a bit more weight here since something like Eastern Condors, where he's quite kind of he's not chubby in that, he's more kind of muscular. I think in this he put a bit more chub on. And I think it works in his favour because he's kind of like, he's the innocent kind of rickshaw driver, and he's quite lovable and quite, obviously the usual kind of Sammo stuff. He's kind of a bit goofy, but he can also kick your ass. Right.
And he always manages to score the hottest chick.
The hottest chick, without fail. I mean, he beats him up a little bit. there's always a chick that gets beaten, that gets her ass beaten in the film, but, it all turns out all right in the end. And we had, the action on this, we had obviously Sammo's Stuntman Association doing a film which did for this, this part of the, decade, like with Brandy Yun on this, and Mancoy as well, who obviously has a small role in the film. So, the combination of, of those three really turns out, some of the best action that Sammo put the film. And I think, it's kind of like a goodbye to, golden era kind of Hong Kong cinema in some ways. I think, the 90s in general, it was Sammo, as I said, experimenting with different types of film, whether they be kind of quirky comedies or, kind of darkness, or kind of rehashing the same stuff, but in a lesser format. I don't think he quite touched this kind of glory post this in his 90s career. Right.
It's not a bad film to end the era. I mean, it's top notch.
No, from a man who his impact on Hong Kong cinema in general, just as a director and as an actor and just choreographer, it's it's insane. But it's almost kind of like last goodbye, because during the kind of 90s period, he his directorial stuff kind of slipped away from him in the mid 90s, but obviously he had Martial Law to focus on, and obviously he kept in the game as a producer, and had a couple of bashes at kind of Yuwuxia films like your Moon Warriors and your what's the other one that he, I don't think he directed, possibly produced, can't remember now, but he took a dab hand in that. But I think this is kind of last goodbye to those films of the 80s that it was just it could be one scene to the next. You could have comedy here. We could have darkness. We could have, really just on par action choreography. And it was really switching up. But we loved them anyway, dependent of the switching up. And no matter what the narrative was doing, it was always lovable cast and lovable hijinks going on.
Yeah.
And it feels like a very much a product of that era and one of the last few products of that era.
Great chemistry.
Great chemistry.
Between
all the actors, and we just have like a cast of people that were really kind of flying high at this point in their careers, and you see there's a lot of people on here that were just in terms of their careers that they were at the very peak here, and what they were doing and what they were known for doing, I think it's importance can't be kind of you know, taken away from it. And I think, I mean, for a lot of people that possibly saw it, I mean, if you saw all the kind of the 80s classics from Sammo and, you know, some of the, you know, his late 70s Kung Fu stuff, I mean, if you came into this possibly thinking it was as good as that, it's a different level of quality, I feel. It's a different, it's more of a Sammo tour de force showing his dab hand in every aspect, more than a complete piece of filmmaking. It's more, he shows he can do the emotional side. He shows he can do, you know, the action choreography better than anyone at this time, and he can show that he can also bring, you know, the comedy to it and the funniness to it. Mm-hmm. And just, it's a charming film as well, for the most part. And Sammo has a lot of, you know, kind of charming dialogue and lines and interactions with kind of Litchi. And
I didn't mind the romance either. Like, the romance angle was done well too.
Yeah, I agree, and it's I mean, it's not always a given that, you know, the leads are going to have chemistry, and here right. they do, and, you know, the whole cast do, and it's the one thing to me that really escalates, I think, the fight scene at the end is because of everything that happened before. You're so invested into the film emotionally. Mm-hmm. You could argue that there's no real emotional investment until the scenes at the back end with Max Mark and the darkness, and it right. not only gets dark, tonally it gets dark, kind of, you know, the setting, it turns to night, and we get a lot of, you know, a lot of darkness, and we get a lot of mm-hmm. kind of things happening to people that are brutal and quite shocking. And I think that's probably the point where it stops being kind of light and fluffy, and you really get on board with the characters, and then you really get on board to see them through this final confrontation and, you know, what happens with it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are true stakes, man.
Yeah, man, the stakes.
Stakes are high at the end for some reason for a comedy.
Yeah, it's and I think maybe that's why. I mean, I have heard you know, views on this that I think a lot of the time that it's seen as kind of a masterpiece or his masterpiece, and there's also the opinion, you know, that I read that a lot of people are, you know, somewhat disappointed with the film. That it doesn't, you know, the storyline does kind of, there's a stop and start to it, and we get a bit of this and we get a bit of that. But, I mean, I think that's just Hong Kong cinema.
Maybe we're just used to it, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're used to this type of filmmaking, and we're used to kind of having these, you know, bits and pieces of everything. It's like a buffet. You know, the best Hong Kong cinema is like a buffet. We get everything. We get laughs. And that's not to say that the best Hong Kong cinema is made from that. We also get, you know, films made from really good storytelling and it kind of being a ride, like City on Fire, like we just, you know, we talked about. That's kind of a different type of Hong Kong cinema. It's the Hong Kong cinema. It's more of a ride rather than it's, you know, bits and pieces of everything and, you know, lots of stuff to enjoy. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely recurring views, opposing views, opposing views on this. And yeah, most part people are in the camp of a like it. I think obviously you may have said, yeah, we were both kind of on board with it. I mean, would you think it would you class it as Sammo's best film, or?
Well, I mean, to say it's his best film would probably be a stretch, but you know,
I mean, directorial. I mean, what would you say? I mean, direction wise, I mean, you know, in terms of his kind of directorial filmography, you know, do you think that it's his best?
Well, he did Eastern Condors or Condor Heroes.
Eastern Condors, yeah, 2 years before.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and I would say, you know, something like that would probably be his best. I mean, I like the action. It's just, and it's pretty much an action film, but this one is a little more different. Kind of shows you his skills in various areas. Is it his best? I don't think so, but it's still pretty darn good.
I think it's a different type of. It's more of a, yeah, like a mixed bag in terms of stuff. Not saying that there's any kind of thing I think so overtly bad, but I think it is a mixed bag in terms of we get a little bit of everything. And
yeah,
he's made so many films of, you know, of different types. I mean, it's hard to say what's the best film because in terms of the directorial stuff, you got your classic Kung Fu. You know, you could argue, you know, one of those films is best. He's done his Three Brothers films. You could argue one of those, you know, it has been the better film, and obviously he's done stuff on his own like this, and you could argue, I mean, he's such a multifaceted director with everything he's done and you know, films he's appeared in, you know, just producing. I mean, he's produced some, you know, absolute classics as well, so it's different. I think with Samu, it's hard to say this is his best film. I think it's easy to say this is his best film of this part of his career, rather than as a whole, this is his best film. It's a difficult one to say.
I agree.
It's kind of locked away. It hasn't been seen, you know, since the VHS era. Luckily, your Sky is in. UK got the Made in Hong Kong VHS.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure had remastered subs compared to the Laserdisc prints that are flying around. But yeah, that VHS is definitely a rarity now. And I think I haven't seen that copy, I don't think, but I'm sure that's the best one to get. I heard it looks a bit better and it's got the best subtitles on there, subtitle quality on there. So I think that's the one to go with. But it is difficult to track down. Right. It does show up on eBay from time to time.
For like $100 probably.
Yeah, often for a ludicrous price. Mm. But it does pop up from now and then. But I think the one to get is a Laserdisc print, because I think it's the most common print. I think it was released on VCD as well. I'm guessing so. Looking at it, it's Taiwan VCD, but I have no idea about the quality of that. But the main things to watch out for are either Laserdisc or the Made in Hong Kong VHS. There's also a bootleg flying around from America, which is probably easy to come by. You know, we don't support bootlegs on this show. I'm not saying it's the way in, but for films like this, which are hard to come by, best thing to do is just, you know, be happy with what you can get. It's going to be difficult to turn around and say that we're going to have a really great copy of this, HD copy of this, because I don't think it's going to happen. Sadly, very, very sadly. But
so, Warner Brothers, are you guys listening to this? We're talking about VHS, VCD, Laserdisc. Come on, get your fucking act together. Let's do this. Give us a DVD. It deserves a DVD release.
It deserves DVD, mate. It deserves DVD. You know, it's in the scene. I mean, you know, we've had stuff like the Tiger Cage films, you know, re-released. Tiger Cage 2, which was a holy grail for so many years. Again, right. Like, we had a VHS and we didn't have much of that, and that was remastered
exactly
in Hong Kong recently. Lesser
Wong Jing films on DVD. Come on, let's do this.
There's some shit that has been remastered and given a better print than this. And although we're Hong Kong cinema fans, so we're going to put up with this Laserdisc thing. But we would really love to, you know, see a DVD of it. And, I mean, I don't even know who's got the rights. But from the last I heard of it, it was Warner Brothers, and they're, you know, keeping it shut tight.
Yeah,
because they're assholes.
Yeah, just hoarding it. Fucking, you guys should appear on an episode of Hoarders if you guys are gonna do this.
Yeah, I got Pedicard Driver here. I got the Ark from Raiders of the Lost Ark here.
Yeah, come on,
it's like I'm just thinking it's kind of like it's the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark with the big garage, like the big massive kind of warehouse full of just like lost things.
No.
They've got Pedicard Driver, you know, sitting next to stuff like that. It's a tragedy, to be honest, but there is prints to be found, and it's definitely worth seeking. You know, it's definitely one of Samo's best films. It's definitely worth hunting down. It's unfortunate it hasn't got a good release, but I think if you're into your Hong Kong cinema and you're deep into it, you're going to be happy with the Laserdisc print.
Right.
Yeah, that's the best we're going to get for now, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I think that, so it's pretty much, that's all my ideas and ideas. That's all. My idea is to go to Warner Brothers head office with Samo. With Samo in his nice little kind of lumberjack shirt. And we're gonna beat him down. We're going to kick their ass. We're going to get it. We'll bring Max Mock too.
I know he needs
bring
work.
Bring Max Mock too. I mean, he can cry and show some sad about it. You know, Sam will do the fisticuffs. But yeah, Max Mock can cry. And you will run in and steal the print. Steal the print. The print is ours. And then me and Dave are going to hoard it along with the big boss axe in the head scene, which you've got as
That's right.
We've got that on tap. We've got that in the back.
And then we're going to brag about it and not show anybody.
brag about both of those and then possibly burn the prints. So, yep. So Warner Brothers, hurry up. You need to get on it because we've got some prints that are ready to burn. So, yeah.
We're coming.
We're coming.
We know you listen to this podcast. And
we know you listen to this and we know where you're based and your headquarters. All right? Yeah. Sir, definitely. 100%.
All right.
Yep. Be scared. Be very scared. Can you hear that, David? I can hear some boots shaking. Yeah, it's yours, Warner Brothers. Yeah, you fuckers. In all seriousness, yeah, we need a nice print of this. That would be lovely. Hugs and kisses, Warner Brothers. If you could make that happen. So, yeah. But yeah, that's all my notes on the film, David. If you got anything else to share,
it's a see it for me.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, see it. You need to track it down. You need to see it. Yeah, so I don't support bootlegging or bootlegs, but if that's the only way you can see it, then do it. I'd much rather, you know, prefer to put the money in, you know, in the original source's pocket, but sometimes that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do what you gotta do, track this one down. And that's it. I mean, the thing I think to do now is probably sign off. That's me and David Lamb's view on Pedicab Driver. And you've been listening to Pogs on Fire Network Bonus Episode 11 with the two best people who are on the show, and everyone else is pales in comparison. So,
sure,
yeah, there you go.
I'm Conan O'Brien. That. I'm Conan O'Brien. Tom's Jimmy Fallon, and Ken's Jay Leno. Let's go out on that.
This is true. Yeah, let's go out on that. This has been Pogs on Fire. That's
Peace
it.
Out.
Peace out. Peace.